Well, let's read together from God's Word and returning to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse 11. First part of the chapter, Paul's talked about his hope, the hope of every Christian of eternal life with the Lord beyond death. And then he starts to talk at verse 11 about his ministry as a preacher of the gospel, as a missionary. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what's seen, rather than what is in the heart. If we're out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I wonder, do you ever wish you could have your life over again? Now, the youngsters won't understand this at all. They're having their life the first time, and have years and years ahead of them. But for those of us who've lived a bit longer, there are those times perhaps when we think, wouldn't it be good if you could start over again? Especially as you get older, there must be very few of us, probably none of us, who isn't thinking, well, you know, if I had my time over again, I wouldn't make that mistake. I'd take that opportunity. I'd make a better job of it. If I could start out with the wisdom I've got now, well, it would be so different. The problem is, you have to be the age you are to have the wisdom you've got. It's true enough, sometimes been said that youth's wasted on the young. If you could have youth and your wisdom and experience and put them together, you'd make a much better job of life, wouldn't you? And sometimes it may seem it would be good if you could start over again and, yeah, do a better job of it, really, and avoid the mistakes and the sins and seize the opportunities that you missed and now you wish you'd taken them. But of course, we know that kind of a new start isn't possible. Very attractive, but that just isn't going to happen. And even the best developments of medical technology aren't going to enable us to be rejuvenated and start life over again. Remember the question Nicodemus asked Jesus, can a man enter his mother's womb when he's old and be born again? And to Nicodemus, of course, it was impossible. And physically, it's not possible. You can't have your time over again. You've had it once. And what you've done with it, you've done with it. And that may be true for all of us, but of course there are those whose life just seems so damaged. Damaged perhaps by what they've done or what has been done to them. That the idea of a new start is just impossible. They feel perhaps so broken and so hopeless. There's nothing can encourage them to think of a new start being possible. It's just so dark and they're so broken and defeated. And to talk about a new start almost seems to be toying with them and dangling impossible visions in front of them, because it isn't possible. A new start? No, of course not. And yet, perhaps it seems that would be such a wonderful possibility, just to close the door on the past and start afresh, turn the page and start over again. And we know it isn't possible, or do we? But of course, the Bible tells us, in fact, that a new start is possible. Not that we can be rejuvenated and lose 10 or 20 years. Not a new start in that sense, but a new start spiritually. A new start as a person. You see, many people think that Christianity is all about trying to be a better person, don't they? Isn't that the idea many have? To be a Christian is trying to be a good person. Trying to be a better parent, a better husband or wife, a better employee. It's trying to be better. And make it your best effort to improve yourself. Try and get rid of bad habits. Become a more pleasant person, easier to get on with. You don't lose your temper so quickly. All of those things. That, to them, is being a Christian. It's trying terribly hard to be a better person. Or in the eyes of some, trying terribly hard just to be a nice person. And there's that mentality, of course, that Christianity is about trying to please God. Just do your best. Try very hard. And people think that's what Christians are doing. They go to church. They do all these things to keep in with God, the God they believe in, to try and please Him and satisfy Him. That's what Christianity is about. And yet we know they're utterly wrong. They couldn't be further from the truth. Christianity isn't a kind of self-help, do your best, try terribly hard prescription. The heart of Christianity actually isn't about us doing anything. The heart of Christianity is about God's work and what God has done and what God can do. That's what Christianity is about. It's about a God who transforms sinners into saints. People like you and me, He transforms into His children, people who love Him and who serve Him. That's what Christianity is all about. It focuses on God. And because it's God's work, then a comprehensive starting again is possible. What is utterly impossible with us is possible with an almighty God. By God's power, a total remaking of a man or woman is possible. That's what happens every time somebody really becomes a Christian. It's a work of transformation. This is a God who changes people at the very deepest level in their heart of hearts, we might say. That really is a new start. And that's what we want to think about for a time today as we turn to the verses we read earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to focus on verse 17. Here is good news. This is the best news anybody could hear. And this is news about a new start. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. There is the way, the only way in which a new start is possible for any man or woman. Not because of some inner resources you have or some effort that you can summon up to change yourself, no, but because of who God is and what God can do. Indeed, what God already has done. A new start. I want to think about this verse under three C's. And I'm not a great fan of alliteration. I think it can become very tiresome very quickly. But it can be useful. And there are three C's in this verse for us to notice. And the first is Christ. Christ. You notice the very beginning of the verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. And that really is the key statement in the whole verse. This is the very core of what Paul is talking about in Christ. This is the heart of the gospel, being in Christ. But what does it mean to be in Christ? What's Paul talking about? How are we to understand his words? Well, in this letter, and in his earlier letter in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about two places spiritually that people can be, and there are only two possibilities. He mentions them in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. And there he talks about being in Adam, and he talks about being in Christ. There are the two places in which a human being may be. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. To be in Adam, first of all, that's where we all naturally are, in Adam. We are Adam's spiritual descendants, really. That's the best way to think of it. We're spiritual descendants of Adam. We go right back to the very beginning of Scripture, to the historical figure of Adam. And we know what happened, of course. He disobeyed God, he sinned, he fell. And the Bible says that all of us born from Adam share in Adam's fallenness and Adam's sinfulness. We really are his spiritual descendants. We're like little Adams, each of us. We're sinners, we're separated from God, we're guilty in his sight. The Bible describes people like us as dead, dead in sins, separated from God, no fellowship with God, no desire for it. And that is what we are in Adam. We are linked to him. He's our forefather. And you know the expression, like father, like son? Well, like Adam, like his descendants. That's us. That's the way we're born into the world. That's the kind of people we are. We are what the Bible calls sinners. We're in Adam. And there's no way we can change ourselves or start over again. Maybe you've tried sometimes just to improve yourself, get rid of the bad habits, be a better person, and you know it doesn't last. You just go back to what you were in Adam. That's the way we are. So in Adam is the one possibility. That's where we start out. But then Paul talks about being in Christ. That's what he mentions here in the verse we're looking at. In Christ. Well, if in Adam means spiritually you're connected to him, then to be in Christ must mean spiritually to be connected to the Lord Jesus. To be in him spiritually. And that's the link that transforms people like you and me, that changes sinners. To be linked to Christ, to be in Christ, that's what gives us the new start. That's what gives us a new life in Christ. Paul describes it in another of his letters in Romans chapter 6 as being like dying and rising with the Lord Jesus. Now, literally, of course, Jesus died and rose again, as the Gospels tell us. But spiritually, we need, as it were, to die with him. The old sinful nature that we have has got to die. And we've got to rise to a new nature, to be a new person. We die and we rise with Jesus. Of course, not literally. We're not nailed to crosses. We're not put in tombs and then rise from the dead. But spiritually, we do. We die to the old ways, the old habits, the old nature. And we rise to a new life in Christ, linked to him. The old crucified, and a new life started. That's how to have a new start. There isn't any other way. You need to be in Christ. As long as you're in Adam, you're dead. And that's how you'll remain for all eternity. You need to be in Christ. And that link to Christ is forged when a sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you recognize your need, when you understand you're an Adam and you're dead and you're hopeless, and you understand there is somebody who can change me. There's somebody who can give me a new start, Jesus. And you put your trust and your faith in him. And the link is forged by God. You're in Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus and we'll be saved. That's what Paul told the Philippian prison officer. We come in and say, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. And he'd say the same to us, believe in the Lord Jesus. You'll be saved. You'll be in Christ. You'll have a new start, a new beginning. Instead of being in Adam, hopeless in sin, you'll be in Christ, a new person. So Christ is crucial to this verse. Christ is crucial to a new start. Without being in Christ, you'll never have a new start. You'll go on being the same old person in Adam forever. And you'll be stuck there, and there's no escape. Only the Lord Jesus Christ offers hope of a new start. Anyone is in Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus, trusting him to save us, to make us new, to transform us, to give us a new start. There's the word of hope for you and me. There isn't hope of change anywhere else, but there's hope. Hope that won't disappoint you. So Christ is the first C in the verse. Anyone is in Christ, believing in him, trusting in him, linked to him spiritually. That's what the gospel's about. Not do your best and hope you please God. It's realize your best will never be good enough and trust in Christ. So Christ is the first C. Second C is creation. Creation. Read on in the verse. Isn't this a wonderful statement? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Isn't that amazing? Maybe some of us are so familiar with verses like this that it doesn't strike us as unusual. But it should. We should never lose a sense of amazement when you read words like that. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That should always thrill us. It should even keep surprising us that such a thing should be possible for people like you and me. A new creation. This is a real new start. And of course, when we are talking about creation, when we're using that language, we must be talking about God's work. Because the Bible makes it clear that the work of creation is God's work. Oh yes, we talk about artists and writers and so on being creative. But it's in a secondary sense. It's only God who truly creates, who created the universe and who recreates people. This is God's work. That should jump out at us. A new creation. You didn't create yourself. You couldn't. Creation is God's work. So the verse is underlining and highlighting as clearly as possible that what we are talking about, this new start, is God's work. It's not something we manufacture. It's not something we achieve. It's God's work. And Paul's telling us that when A sinner is transformed. When you are in Christ, what has happened? God has put forth the same power that he used to create the universe to change you. Isn't that amazing? The power that God used to create the universe has been put forth to change you and everyone else who is saved. It really is a new act of creation. Nothing less will do. It's not a little tinkering and a little renovation here and there, tidying up a bit that's not quite right. What's wrong with us is just so comprehensive. That kind of tinkering and renovation doesn't begin to be enough. We need to be transformed. We need to be what? We need to be new creations, starting over again. And that's what God does. He puts forth his power to transform men and women. That's what we need. You remember, of course, how God created man in the first place, perfect in Eden, Genesis 1. And then man, Adam, our forefather, fell into sin, disobeyed God, put himself in God's place, Genesis 3. And we all follow Adam spiritually. We're in Adam. We sin, we disobey, we live for ourselves. We put self in the middle of life instead of God. And the Bible's verdict on us is uncompromising. Ephesians 2:1 tells us we're dead in transgressions and sins. And if we're dead in sins, well, who can give us life? Only God. Only God can deal with what's wrong with us, because we need life, and only God can give life. We need a work of creation, recreation. So Paul, as always, and Scripture always, emphasizes that transformation of sinners is a work of God. It is a work of creation. Right down to the very roots of who you are, God must touch and change you in a work of new creation. It's God's power that's needed. Nothing less will do. It's so silly to think that anything less than the very power of God can change a sinner. Very foolish. The power of God is needed. It's God who makes us alive. It's even God who enables us to believe in the Lord Jesus. We couldn't do it by ourselves, but God enables us to do it. He unites us to Christ. When a Christian says, "I am in Christ," it's God who's put him there, and put her there. You're in Christ because of God's work, God's miracle, God's new creation. And it really is a miracle. Sometimes people think, "Oh, I wish I could experience a miracle." They hear accounts of amazing things happening, and miracles and wonders. But this is the greatest miracle. And anybody who's a Christian, anybody who's saved, has experienced the greatest miracle that can possibly happen. A new creation. God's work brings us to Christ, puts us in Christ, deals with our sin and our deadness and our lostness, and gives us a new start. One thing it means, of course, is all the praise and glory belong to God, not to us. You never congratulate somebody who's become a Christian, say, "Boy, you made a good decision there. Pat you on the back. How wise." We praise God because it's God's work. And all the glory belongs to him. New creation. It couldn't be any more comprehensive than that, could it? To start over again. But you could never do. God and his power and his grace is able to do. So we've Christ and we've creation. But of Christ as the only one who is able to save us. We need to be in Christ. In creation, we need to be new creations. And it's God's work. And he starts over again with us. We're new people. And the third C that Paul refers to here is consequences. Christ, creation, consequences. Because a new start will lead inevitably to a changed life. You see, that's why it is so unbelievable when somebody says to you, well, you know, I became a Christian 40 years ago. Now, you know, I don't go to church. I'm not really interested these days. But I became a Christian then, and I'm saved, and I'm all right. You know, as if you sort of made a once-in-a-lifetime payment to an insurance policy, and then you could forget about it. That's how some people seem to think of it. You get that bit sorted, and you're all right with God, and then you just get on with your life and live it for yourself. The Bible never for a second suggests that's how it works or it can work. People who think like that are just deceiving themselves. If you really have a new start from the Lord, if you really are in Christ, that will change your whole life from that day on. And you will never be the same. Now, you'll not be perfect till you're in heaven, but you'll never be the same. A new start leads to consequences, to a changed life. It can't do otherwise if it's real. If the new start doesn't change your life, then it wasn't really a new start. It might have been an emotional experience. It might have been all sorts of things, but it wasn't the new start that Paul's talking about. It'll change your life. Look how he describes it. The old has gone. The old has gone. Definite event. The old has gone. Your old sinful nature now has been broken. It's not your master. Paul puts it this way in Romans 6. We died to sin. And that has happened. The old nature no longer has control of you if you're a Christian. We don't think or act the way we did before we were converted. We've new joys, we've new motives, we've new aims in life. What do we want to do more than anything else? We want to glorify God. And we want to please him. The old has gone, the living for yourself. The living to please me is over with. And now I want to live to please God. The old has gone. Now, the Bible tells us we're not yet made perfect. The old ways will still hang on. You know it and I know it. There will still be attractions in sin that'll pull you. And there'll be times when you slide back and there'll be times when you do fall. I'm not saying the new start makes you perfect. There's still a lot that's going to need change. We are works in progress. We really are. But if God has given you the new start, the Holy Spirit gradually makes you more like Jesus. That sin loses its attraction. It doesn't draw you the way it used to. It doesn't satisfy you when you do give in. Thank God it doesn't. The old has gone. And the Holy Spirit helps us to resist temptation. So the old has gone. Once for all, its power is broken. It'll still call out to us. It'll still attract us sometimes. Sometimes we'll listen. But its dominion is broken. It's not your master. But more than that, the new has come. It's great the old has gone, but how much more wonderful. The new has come. Your whole life has been turned around in another direction. Once you were going that way, now you're going that way. Christ lives in me, Paul says in Galatians 2. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life we're living. We're living by God's enabling for God. The new has come. And the Lord, step by step, little by little, reshapes us, remakes every part of life. He'd start with the big things, but there'll be little things too that need to be changed, and he'll be working. The new has come, you're not the same. And so God continues to work. There's no going back. That's wonderful. That's a tremendous assurance. There's no going back. The new start will not be undone. It can't be. God's changed you once for all. And he'll make you more and more like Jesus. There's a new life within you. By God's grace, the new has come and it stays new. And it won't become old again. God's working. God's changing. The consequences of the new start. The old's gone. Great. The new has come, even better, to be made like Jesus. And God will finish the work. You know, sometimes if you're a Christian, you're conscious of the struggles. You're conscious that you're not making the progress you should, and you think, well, maybe it'll never finish. Maybe the work won't really be done. Maybe sometime along the way I'll be lost and I'll do something that loses my salvation. The scriptures assure us, no, it never will be undone. When the new start has taken place, God will hold on to you. God will keep you. Paul had that confidence. In Philippians 1, he says that he who began a good work in you, God, will carry it through to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. When Christ comes back, the transformation will be complete. The consequences, the old has gone. It's not your master anymore. Don't listen to it. The new has come. God's changing you. Nothing's the same. Everything's different as a Christian. And God will finish the work perfectly. A new start is possible. Not by any means you and I can ever dream up. Not by any amount of effort we might make. But God can do it. And he does it in Christ. And he does it in a work of a new creation, transforms you, and it has consequences for the rest of your life. The old has gone. The new has come. You're a new person. And God will help you to live as a new person until you're in heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not news that says, do your best, try very hard. Maybe you'll manage to please God. It says God can change you. God can give you a new start. He's given it to many of us. He can do it for you, even today.